And you can open up to John, John chapter 4. My brother Timothy, I want you to be listening. There's not a person here this morning that hasn't at some time faced some kind of difficulty, challenge, or anxiety. Where the choices were few and the solutions were difficult. Sometimes the adversities can be handled with hard work. Sometimes it takes creativity. Then sometimes neither one will get us through it. It takes God. Well, here in John chapter 4, we will look at a situation where there's a nobleman with a dying son who goes to Jesus. Because no amount of money would take care of his situation. No amount of hard work, I don't care how creative he got, it wasn't going to heal his son. He needed the great Hakim. That is, the great healer, the physician. He needed Jehovah Rapha. So you're there in John. We're going to start reading in verse 43. Verse 43. Now after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down. My son dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So here in verse 46, we see this nobleman in such a situation where no amount of money, hard work, or creativity on his part is going to take care of his situation. He needed God. So we're going to learn some lessons on faith here. The first is to go to God with your problems, which we don't do. First thing we do is we go to self, do we not? And we should be going to God. But we should be going to God for more than our problems. So many people only want God, though, as their problem solver. God, if you will get me out of this problem, God, if you will heal that person, God, if you will get me that job, and then we make promises, don't we? And here's the good news, though. Jesus answers prayer. He'll answer every one of them. He'll get you out of the situation. He'll heal that person you've prayed for. Because if you've prayed in faith, it's going to happen. and he'll get you that job, the right job. It may take you several jobs till you find the right job, but he will keep you working and he will get you the right job. He is Jehovah Jireh. He does provide. But if who God is means less to you than what he can do for you, then I'm going to tell you what, you've missed his message entirely. In verse 43 through 44 again, now, after the 2 days, he departed from Samaria. That's where he was at. And he went to Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they also had gone to the feast. They were eyewitnesses to the miracles there that he did. Now, after he had been in Samaria, says they received him for 2 days. See, that's important because you got to remember, Jews now, pure Jews, hated the Samaritans because, see, they were a mixed race. They were impure in the opinion of the Jews. The Jews avoided even going through Samaria. But see, not Jesus. There wasn't no place Jesus wouldn't go. See, because no matter where you go, he's with you. And if you go to a place you're not supposed to be, guess what? He's there. Yes, sir. He's got his eyes open. Now, they not only received Jesus, they believed that he was Christ, the Savior of the world. Because if you look at verse 42, it says, then they said to the woman, because he just had a long couple, from 1 to 39 here, with the woman at the well. Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. A couple chapters earlier, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They became believers. But see, the people in Galilee were interested in his miracles more than his mission. Luke chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Then Jesus said, probably you will quote me this proverb, physician, heal yourself, meaning, why don't you do miracles here in your hometown like those you did in Capernaum? But I solemnly declare to you that no prophet is accepted in his own hometown. In other words, Jesus, stop the preaching and get on with the miracles and the healings. We aren't interested in who you are. We are just interested in you entertaining us and wooing us by these miracles and healings. John 4 there, verses 45 through 46, part A. But the Galileans welcomed him with open arms, for they had been in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration and had seen the miracles. They had already seen his miracles. And it goes on, in the course of his journey through Galilee, he arrived at the town of Cana, where he had turned the water into wine. And we remember that story, right? Woman, what would you have me to do? When they were under pressure because there was no wine. And did she take offense to what Jesus said? Not at all. She just looked at them and said, whatever he does, say. I tell you, whatever Jesus says, just do it. Just do it. It'll bring an end to your situation. But notice we are back at Cana, where the wedding took place. So we have come full circle. The purpose of the first miracle at Cana was so the disciples might believe. Now this miracle signified Christ's deity. When Jesus transformed the water into wine, he demonstrated his power, see? He then goes to Jerusalem, cleanses the temple, did miracles there, and people believed. But it wasn't to a saving faith. The people in Jerusalem were curious about miracles, but they were very fickle in their faith, which shows us that miracles don't necessarily lead to a saving faith. But the Samaritans, they believed without seeing miracles. They believed him when he spoke to them by his words. How are we to believe Jesus? Same way, through his word. Where do we get his word? Right here. We got 66 books right here to study out. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You have his word, that's as good as being in his presence. Verse 46b. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. This nobleman is a royal official of the king, an official of Herod Antipas, who was technically the tetrarch who ruled Galilee. But he was referred to as the king. Now he heard about Jesus. He heard about Jesus in the palace. And he heard about it from the wives of the other officials. Because when women get together and they talk in the kitchen and you're sitting in the other room, what a lot did they discuss? It goes on in my house. Of course, they talk low and they know that I can't hear them. I said, what'd you say? Okay, but in Luke chapter 8, verse 3, we're going to see there are women that follow Jesus from the palace. Joanna, Cusa's wife. Now, Cusa was King Herod's business manager and was in charge of his palace and domestic affairs. And her girlfriend, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their private means to support Jesus and his disciples. Sounds like they gave offerings, brother. Did they have to? Was Jesus poor? Oh, no. No way. When Jesus, though, was nearby, they would always go out to go to hear him speak. And then they gave him the financial support needed for his ministry. Because, see, they looked at it at the natural realm. But they didn't know that they were being blessed because of it. The news of Jesus had reached the royal palace through these women. Joanna. Interesting. Her name in the Hebrew? Yohanna. Yohannah. Meaning, God is gracious. So this nobleman heard about Jesus and what he preached and the miracles he did. But he knew, yeah, he knew what would happen to him upon going to see Jesus. But see, his son was sick and wasn't going to make it. So it didn't matter. In verse 47, what does it say? For he was at the point of death. He wasn't going to make it. So there was an urgency for them. Verse 49, the nobleman pleaded, Jesus, come now before my child dies. Now he had to travel 20 miles to see Jesus. And he addresses him as sir. Sir. Putting himself under Jesus, even though this nobleman had the legal authority over Jesus to command him to come, no matter what. But he humbled himself. He went to Jesus. Now, scholars, they estimate that at this time in history, that only 50% of the children who became sick at an early age lived to age 5. So, you can see, he was in a desperate situation. Jesus was at Cana. So this royal official, he came from Capernaum, which, as I said, was like 20 miles away. They say 20 to 25. Verse 47 in the Amplified says, having heard that Jesus had come back from Galilee into Galilee, he went away to meet him and began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death. See, if you're a parent and you've had a very sick child at some time in your life, or you've even had the trauma of one that's been close to near death, well, you can imagine how he's feeling. All the money in the world, as 401ks, your businesses, the house, you'd trade them all for your child's health, would you not? There's a lady right there, I know that she would. I just watched her recently go through that. When her two little boys were sick, she would have given anything. And then her husband got sick and she had the same compassion for him. Take an example, Therese. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, I can say that because I love her and she loves me. But all the power, the prestige, the influence, they all dwindled in significance, especially when compared to the life of your child. He sees Jesus and begins to beg him. And he didn't just ask once, did he? He repeatedly asked him. See, he was desperate. He acted upon when Jesus probably said, because he heard him talking, ask and it will be given to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He was working on that principle. Those are words that Jesus spoke. Whether he heard them or not, I don't know. Verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. See, Jesus wasn't just talking to the man alone. There was a crowd all around him. The you here is plural. It isn't just directed at the man. It's directed at the crowd of thrill seekers. The man could have been very indignant at that point in time. He was a royal official. His pride could have been big time, right? No, he humbled himself. And he shut up. See, Jesus wants to do more in our lives than just answer our current requests that we come to him with. Meeting your needs is important. His word tells us that, does it not? In Philippians 4:19. Our God shall supply all our need. All our need. Whatever it is, your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He shall supply. Do you believe that word to be true? You should. Shouldn't be no doubt whatsoever. Because see, that's where the problem enters in. But God wants more. He wants you to get to know him intimately. Why do I keep bringing it up? Because it's very, very important. Developing an intimate relationship with him will help you to overcome this world we live in. Now go to him with your problems, but go to him for more than just your problem. We need to learn to believe God's word. You say you do, but let the pressure be put on. And so we're not supposed to believe our worries, are we? In verse 49, the nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my son dies." He was expecting. See, because he went expecting. But he went to expecting Jesus to come to his house and to lay hands on his son. See, he had it all preconceived, all planned out in his mind how Jesus should do it. Ever been there? Yeah, we've all been there. Jesus, this is what I need. And this is how I need you to do it. That's right. I need you to stop this. Oh, but I need you to start that. How about going here for me, Jesus? And how about having all of them do this? Doesn't work that way. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Boy, Pastor Jack, you use a lot of the same scriptures over and over again. Well, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need reminded constantly. You're out there all week long, and you don't hear all this because you're in the world. And God says, refresh my people. Keep them refreshed. Keep them focused. Keeping them looking to me for the answer. I will lead them. I will guide them. And help to encourage them so that they will listen. Listen. See, we have it all planned out in our mind on how God should work. We saw that with Joshua. Yeah, Joshua's plans to take Jericho. They were nothing compared to what he had envisioned. This was a military man. He figured out and looked and got all his plans out and looked and said, okay, this is probably the weakest point in that wall. This is the lowest point. We can go over the wall here. We can go this. And then he goes to God. Oh, I got it all planned out. No, this is how we're going to do. You're going to march, and then you're going to shout. Yeah, but. Just listen. You're going to march, and then you're going to shout. Now be quiet, and don't let people talk. Just do what's said. What happened? The walls came down. There was no loss of life. Well, that's how this man envisioned it. Jesus, come to my house. Lay hands on my son. Then he will be healed. Your ways are not his ways, folks. Verse 50. Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. Go your way. Your son lives. He didn't question him, did he? Probably can imagine what your mind would go when you're going to expecting Jesus to come down to your house, lay hands on you. The same as you go and say, hey, I need you to come lay hands on me. Or did you pray? Did you ask Jesus in your prayers? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and we should go out. But I'm telling you, when you call out to Jesus, He hears you. And he will touch you at that point in time. Right then and there. He hears you. Don't get it. Don't even question it. He's heard you.
Amen.
When he says with long life he will satisfy you, he means it.
Amen.
I look at some of the seniors in here and I'm saying, praise God, look at them. And God has kept them healthy.
Amen.
Now have they been through some things? Yeah. But they're still here this morning.
Yeah.
And they're giving glory to God. See, Jesus, he doesn't have to go and walk 20 miles to Capernaum. Jesus isn't going to work out the man's situation the way that the man had visualized it. No, Jesus simply tells the man, go your way, your son lives. Now, at that point, the official was faced with a huge decision. Jesus had given him his word. So now the question for him and for us, will we simply believe? Will we simply believe Jesus or not? Jesus said, I'll meet your need. Can you simply believe him? But Lord, I need a sign. No, you don't. Simply believe. Lord, I need you to do it this way. No, he'll do it his way. You simply believe. But Lord, I have to see you working. Then I will believe. Come on. You're not going to see him working because he's not here, but he's working through you and through me. And what do we have to do? Simply believe. Just as Jesus said to Jairus, the synagogue ruler, he said, do not be afraid. Simply believe. Simply believe. The biggest issue we face is whether or not God is able or God is willing. And he is willing. And he can. Simply believe. The biggest issue we face is just that, whether or not we will believe. Right? I think you can agree with that. A lot of folks miss out on God's miracles because they don't believe. Ow. They say they do, but do they in their heart? You know, it's the same as if you go and you confess Christ. But if you don't believe in your heart, what are you confessing? You don't believe it in the first place. The two got to work together. You got to believe in your heart. Then you got to speak it, right? So you're wasting your time speaking it if you're not going to believe it. I experienced that right here one time. Prayed for someone. Prayed for them to be born again. Walked out that door. There was no change. There was a change while they were right here. They went out there with nothing. So to me, that showed me they never believed in their heart. It was here. They were here for a show, for a reason, and that was it. You don't know how after I realized that, how I felt. How I felt. And then God said, you did what you were supposed to do. The believing part was on them, not on you. So, we all have to learn that. Believing is on us. So, as I said, a lot of folks miss out on God's miracles because they don't believe. They won't take God at his word. They have more faith in their worries than they do in God's word. But if we are going to receive from God, we have to believe God's word and not our worries. We are to what? Give them to him. Because worrying will keep you from overcoming. You need to do what it says right in a word. And what's it say in 1 Peter 5:7? Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. When you worry, you start into doubt. Kenneth Hagin is quoted as saying, feed your faith and starve your doubts. You feed your faith by reading His Word, by wording up. And you must word up every day, folks. If you do it only once a week, you're going to be weak. Doubt will rob a believer of God's best for his life. Verse 50. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man, get this, believed the word. What did he do?
Believe
the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Went his way. There is another thing said after that, is there? He took Jesus at His word, and he went his way. This man not only believed Jesus could heal, he believed Jesus' words that He had spoken to him, and he obeyed Jesus by returning home, demonstrating his faith. So sure was this man, he didn't even hurry up to go home. For him, Jesus said it, he believed it. Verses 51 through 53, Amplified, classic. As he was on the road going home, his servants met him and reported, saying, your son lives. This man saw these servants running to him. They're coming down to him, and he's looking at him. He doesn't even get a word out. They're yelling, your son lives! Your son lives! So he asks, and he asked them at what time he had begun to get better. What time did he begin to get better? They said, yesterday, during the seventh hour, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. Gone. Was no slow recovery. It was gone. Immediately. Then the father knew that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. He went on his way after Jesus told him, your son lives. But he didn't go home. No, not until the next day. He was so confident in what God spoke to him that he wasn't shaken a bit. Neither should you. When the Word gives you the final say-so on something, believe it. It's like taking it to the bank. As Pastor used to say, slam dunk. The slam dunk. He went on his way after Jesus told him, your son lives. But like I say, it was at that 1 o'clock in the afternoon that when he had spoke with Jesus. See, he could have gotten home that same day. 20 miles. Basically, that was a couple hours. You can accomplish that in a couple hours in a walk. He was in a hurry to get there. He got his answer. He got what he expected. Do you know what he went with? A little bitty seed of faith. That's all he went with. He didn't have nothing else but that. See, we all have faith. And that's all he had. And we see what it accomplished. When he went with that one little seed, of faith. But he didn't go home because he simply believed. He believed God's word, not his anxieties, not his worries, and not his concerns. None of them. Tim, he had no doubts about it.
Amen.
None whatsoever.
Amen.
That's why you say you are to doubt your doubts.
Yeah.
His son would live. That was all he needed to hear. He trusted in the promises of God and that God would keep his word. Because God cannot lie. He had the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. In verse 53 of the Amplified Classic, it says, "Then the Father knew that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, 'Your son will live.'" And he and his house, his entire household believed. They adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Jesus. Notice this official's faith grew. First, he believed enough to seek out Jesus and ask Jesus to heal his son. Secondly, he believed Jesus' assurance that his son would live and not die, and he acted on it. Thirdly, he and his whole household believed in Jesus. They all got born again. Faith is a mustard seed size. When planted, grows as we trust in Jesus. This man was walking by faith, and it affected everyone else in his house. He had a living faith, and it spread to the rest of his household. Because in verse 54, Amplified Classic Edition, this is the second miracle that Jesus performed after he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, there was a lot in between, but this was right here in his hometown area. Who's this dude from Nazareth? Well, I'm going to tell you who this dude is. He heals the sick. He provides for them whatever they have a need of. And you know what? When you get to know Jesus more, your need will change. Because they will no longer be your wants and yours. You'll want what he wants for you. And what he wants for you is far greater than what you even can consider. That's right, brother. He have not seen nothing yet. The miracle that Jesus performed was his second miracle in Cana. These miracles were performed so that people might believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing they might have eternal life. When the official realized that his son had been healed, he knew that Jesus was more than a mere mortal. The official placed his faith in Jesus and was born again and his whole household. He believed and everything changed. He simply believed and acted upon the word. Acted upon the word. Go your way. Your son lives. So go to God with your problems. But go to God for more than just your problems, folks. Go to him daily in prayer. For he desires to hear from you. Believe God's word. Let his word have the final authority in everything in your life. Because man can speak a lot of things, but it doesn't have the final authority in anything over you, over your physical body, over you getting or not getting a job. Let God's word have the final authority in everything. Trust him. By that I mean simply believe. Simply believe. And it is that easy. And when you do, you know what you're going to hear? That was easy.
Yeah.
That's what your spirit's going to start speaking to you. Your spirit's going to say, that was easy. Why did I make it so hard? Why didn't I go to him in the first place? Because of self. Self gets in the way every time. All about what I can do. You can't do nothing compared to what he can do. So say this. Say, I am a believer. I'm a mountain mover. Water walker. More than just an overcomer. Because I've been set free. I'm a gospel preacher. Heart on fire. Freedom singing. Testifier. Because I've been redeemed. I am a believer. And what do believers do? They believe. See, as we believe, we receive. And things will change. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.